or offices for their prosthetics. Not just sending stuff out. Like any good Crown and Bridge man who has a couple of techs in his office. Ed Van Valley, the son, not the father. Maybe the father too, he was dead. Schmidt, Weir Berkman, wonderful people, but not endodontists.
Well, do you think that the AAE is recognizing the importance of getting, you know, spokesmen that, who are really endodontists? And
okay, well, let me tell you what I think has happened with this. In those days, look, any large organization, you're going to have some problems with. You know, there's going to be some question as to what direction they should be going. The beginning was a club, but it seemed to be developing some sense. It was an effective forum. The Seltzers could feel that they could make their speeches, and the Benders felt they could make their speeches, and I can have my audience every year explaining some perio-endo or something. Perio-endo, that was an area that, in a sense, Raj, I almost invented it. And it really flips me when Jimmy Simon and the others will sometimes do unreferenced things now. That'll flip me, because I had Henry here. Every one of my patients had a periodontist. Massachusetts, you know what it is to work with periodontists. So I would show them stuff that would flip their eyes out because we had the material to work with because of what Henry did on the period thing. I thought it was getting to be an effective form. Then they decided to go big. Jake came in the scene, and Jake's a very forceful, hard-driving guy, and a lot of politics came in it. And somewhere around 10 years ago, my role in it begins to peter out. I'm amused that somebody suggested that he could assist me to become president of the AAE. I was amused by this. By getting me onto the executive board for a 3-year term where I would get some exposure. And I was amused because he's a nice guy and he has since been president of the AAE. And he didn't know that I was on the executive board of the AAE before he was on the executive board of the AAE. He's older than I am. And since he was on the executive board and went through the chairs and is now a past president, he didn't know that I was on the executive board of the AAE before he had limited his practice to endodontics. We're not talking about Jake. But before this guy had limited his practice to endodontics.
I could guess. Who? Practicing in Delaware?
Yeah, George.
Okay.
He didn't know that before he limited his practice, I served a 3-year term on the youngest one there, on the executive board of the AAE. Didn't even know it. He's going to get me exposure by putting me onto the executive board. One way to get rid of me for a few years, for 6 years, was to put me on the, well, 3 years there, and then 6 years on the board of endodontics, you know, as an examiner. That got rid of me for another 6 years, during which time they've effectively gotten rid of me from the political structure of the AAE. But since that time, you know, to recognize a different reality, it's gotten to be an organization of close to 2,000 people. And you talk about leadership. They're not choosing their leaders, in my judgment, for leadership in endodontics. I think they're choosing their leaders because of an image that they think is a bright person who can do something politically. I think that's a disadvantage. And the disadvantage being is the people you're really trying to influence can generally tell. If an insurance salesman comes to speak to you, you can generally tell whether he really has something or if he just has a new suit. You can tell, deep down. New suit or old suit, you can tell. And I have a feeling that we're posturing now. And we're putting in nice people, certainly. Intelligent people, unquestionably. Articulate and outgoing people, doubtlessly. But not people necessarily who have any broad picture of what endodontics is or what endodontics could be or what endodontics should be or how it fits into a cosmic scheme. A global scheme of dentistry and what the meanings are. So I'd say that even though I've enjoyed good friendship with the more recent presidents, I don't think that, and I know they, but some of them have been turmoiled by this problem, didn't know what to do with it. Harry Bleckman, great friend of mine, they'd give him the job because he's there and he's been dean at NYU, but here's another guy who only limited his practice recently, you know, not doing endodontics. So I think we're going into a group of people who are comfortable. And for a while, you had to be approved by Jake. As you know, you didn't need me to tell you that. Jake controlled everything. Somehow or the other, and you can put this down personally if nobody gets it but you and Jane, Jake and I went into a rivalry. And I remember talking to my confidant Lou and said, what the hell does he want from me? As far as endodontics, he can't touch me. As an endodontist or as a teacher. As far as politics behind the scenes, I can't touch him. He's far better. I mean, I respect his ability to politic. It isn't that I say, that block. I respect it. I can't touch him in terms of politics. He can't touch me in terms of endodontics. What the hell's he, why is he bugging me? And Lou said, well, you bug him, so he's bugging you back. He said, your being there bugs him. Then he says, hey, his being there bugs you. Your being where you are bugs him. Mm-hmm. And he said, I can't even tell you how to accommodate to him whether you should. Do what you want, but you're going to recognize this thing. No, I've had my good times with Jake, State, and all the rest, but there's been the farmers. So I have been a little, I can't tell you too much. I can tell you a lot, but I'm still outside that politicking. I couldn't tell you where on earth they come up with their nominees for office in the AAE, even though they're nice people. If you talk in terms of, if we talk in terms of the state, the difference between Paul Sicard and myself, or anybody like me, or anybody like him, I think what we're doing in endodontics is we're getting the Paul Sicards into office. The guys who've done their duty, they've been around a little bit, they've done their favors, but I don't think it's necessarily, with the leadership, the capabilities. But this is not to gainsay the fact that the AAE is recognized by the AD. Well, not too well, because I don't know if you know it, but George went to a meeting a year and a half ago of the 8 specialists in Chicago, and they said, excuse me, the endodontist is here. And it was Arts. And with their face red, they thought they had invited the endodontic group, and they had the wrong endodontic group. So not too well. Do you have a copy of my San Diego paper?
No, I don't.
Okay. It's a paper I read in San Diego, and before you leave, I want you to take a copy of it. Okay. And it's a copy where I say, let's shit, I got off the pot. Mm-hmm. And that was very well received. Speaking to the issues of endodontics that we weren't addressing ourselves to. I think the whole handling of N2 was a mistake. Gross mistake from the outset. So Argenti should have been made a member of the AAE and let him give his table clinic in the corner next to the heat pipe, you know? Mm-hmm. and let him do it every 2 years and not have him establish his own thing. But in terms of leadership, I've had access to all these people, even though Jake has ordained that I be outside of it in a way. And I've had my discussions, but I think the AAE has done a tremendous job in the surface kinds of things, in the peripheral kinds of things, and in some others too, but I don't think it's really had statesmanship and knowing where it ought to go. And yet maybe that's the way organizations have to be. I don't want to sound too critical.
Do you feel that the AAE, though, has to play a critical role if endodontic interests are to be properly represented?
Well, somebody has to. Did people speak to you about the idea of having a fellowship at some time? You familiar with that?
Yes.
To break it up into the endodontists and the others. Jake has been very concerned because when we had the student group, Raj, well, you remember that, we had the plot to get the specialists and the students who were trained to separate it out from this great big milieu. The AAE was organized by general dentists, and they still feel they have a major role to play with general dentists. In time, they're going to come around to what you and I had talked about some time ago and recognize more like oral surgeons. They've got to begin to identify themselves with the reality situation they are. They represent certain people, and those people can have a mission to the general dentists, but that can't be run by
the
general dentist.
The proposals that I originally went to Philadelphia with, they listened very politely.
Politely.
They watered it down.
More than that.
They watered it down.
They figured out a way to water it down. Right. It wasn't casual. They formed committees to make it watered down. But be more specific with your question, Roger, because I think I'm rambling now.
Okay. What I'm concerned about is the future of endodontics now. We have, like, the government that's, you know, really threatening, the national government threatening us with a national health insurance type thing. We have problems in endodontics with the number of endodontists that are being trained at
right.
this time. We also have
well, of which I addressed to myself in that paper.
Right.
I speak of the dislocations to come. Of course, the dislocations have now come.
And specifically with these problems in mind, it seems that somebody has to like take control and address these issues and properly represent. You know, without a political type of haranguing amongst ourselves, but properly represent the best interests of private practitioners in endodontics. And there is great concern that this is not being done by the AAE at this time.
Well, it isn't, because some of the things they do would turn off just the kinds of people whom you're trying to reach and turn on. It's gotten to be a club of a different type. Some of the recent people, like our friend in Texas, nice guy, not an endodontist as you would know endodontics, never made a living at it, you know, teaching, a little family money. We've had a variety of presidents, not all, with a lot of family money. Harry Blackmore would be a major exception to this, who could support the hobby in a way. A lot of entertaining, a lot of glib stuff. Much of what they've done has been superficial. It's been bread and circuses. Bigger hotel, more things going on at the same time. They haven't really grappled with the issues. The biggest issue they had to wrestle with was Sargenti, and then the excess number of endodontists. They say they work behind the scenes. They don't work too well behind the scenes. They gave birth, in a way, to much of the N2 controversy, which was a major lack of leadership. Major lack of leadership. Didn't know what to do with him. Stumbled and bumbled, and I say for years they worried about the boards. I don't know if you remember this, but then there was a period when the biggest thing at the meeting was waiting to hear the report on N2. They'd all go paranoid over the N2. The next thing is, how do we address ourselves to the excess number of students? They may be doing a better job on that, but I'm not sure that they are either, because they don't come up and face the issues. What you want to do is face issues. You want to take the issues, articulate them, and then present them to the people who it has to be presented to. The AAE doesn't do that. The AAE has developed, because of Jake, and others have picked up the habit, that you do things behind the scenes. That's the better way to do it. That is a way to do it. That is not the better way to do it. The better way is to present your position so clearly and articulately that it has positive logic, and then you put it up front. And the AAE hasn't done that at all. The posture of the AAE has been to slide and to slip. You come up with the student thing, they slide and slip it. Nobody can face you and say, we like it because of this, or we don't like it because of that. And if you talk about leadership, the leadership problem is that it's gotten to be fun and games. In the leadership, it's fun and games. Another thing is, in many organizations, the future officers can rant and rave and say what they want. When they get to be president, they're finished. They're finished when they get elected. The ranting and raving is over. Now they've got to do something against this great big amorphous mass that they can't put the handle on. And pretty soon, the power structure, which doesn't necessarily have to be the president, says, I've seen you come and go. And in just a few more months, you are gone. And they keep turning it over. And this, I think, is what's happened to the AAE now. That no, Harry is not going to put his imprint on the AAE. Mm-hmm. None of the others have put their imprint on the AAE. Maybe Frank Trice has been a little power person there. I don't mean little, he's a big guy, but I mean he's made some little bit of power, certainly more than George. George will look to Frank. Mm-hmm. An intermediate little thing, but I don't know. Frank really, as I know endodontics, Frank doesn't look like an endodontist as I know endodontics. Does he seem that way to you? You know, I raised that question. So I think that the problem with the AAE, I guess I'm coming around to being able to state it. It's that knots of power, K-N-O-T-S, not N-O-T-S, in office, have been pulling the strings for perpetuating what they're doing. Instead of having an open thing where members can respond to it and say, throw the buggers out, or bring the buggers in, or let's support it, let's write letters, I'm making things up, you know. Let's be forward, let's become active in this and know who we are. Self-identity, another thing I speak of in that paper. Knowing who you are. The average endodontist doesn't know who he is, because his organization doesn't tell him who he is. The playing crap at the Las Vegas tables has got to be after you know who you are. Mm-hmm. And that's the primary thing. Eating all those hors d'oeuvres for the $25 stand-up dinner that I couldn't understand how they could charge so much for it, I could see now. No way to eat, but they sure had good stuff there. All that fun and games, that's all they get out of the meeting. They neither present useful scientific material, nor do they articulate a political point of view. Well, I'm getting closer and closer to this, aren't I? They don't speak for endodontists, because they don't help an endodontist to know who he is, what his issues are, what his needs are, so that he can help them articulate them. It doesn't happen. The stuff happens. Stuff happens in smoke-filled rooms. That's where the stuff happens. And now we're getting really close to it. You can't believe how things get squelched there and how thumbs up or thumbs down without saying a word on ideas. People can work for a year writing reports. I know these things happen. Give them a job to get rid of them and let them burn themselves out and then forget it.
I know that story very well.
Okay. Now, have I answered your question on that?
Yeah. And just carry it a little bit further with your personal evaluation of the future of endodontics in general. Not so tied in with the AAE, but just a personal evaluation of where you think endo is going.
Well, I have to approach it from a broader point of view. We've entered an anti-specialty era in the United States, which you may or may not have on your tapes. Decidedly anti-specialist era. The report of the Council on Dental Education on bringing more specialty work into the general curriculum, the House of Delegates of the ADA, the fact that Penn is going into a fifth year in its program, Harvard's going to a fifth year too, but in a different way at Harvard. At Penn, they're going to be teaching the specialty areas in general dentistry. The fact that the Academy of General Dentistry, all separate items now, converging, feels threatened and is in an anti-specialist mood. The Academy of General Dentistry, the ADA House of Delegates, the schools responding to pressure from the Council on Dental Education, because they're getting the flack from the House of Delegates of the ADA, are all in a very, very anti-specialist mood. This is not simply a figment of my imagination or something I'm articulating now for the first time, as we were doing with the AAE, but this is established policy. So specialties are in trouble, just to begin with, and massive political trouble. Now, endodontics has suffered from leadership. Let me give you an example. You're asking for open stuff now.
Sure.
I.B. Bender, who's never been a specialist, is known as an endodontist. I.B. Bender, who was president of the AAE, now at the age of 70, I don't know what, is appointed to the board for a six-year term. Most corporations don't have people retire at that age. I.B. Bender has been known to make a statement, how can you have a specialty in something that's 21 millimeters long and half a millimeter wide? Now that's cute. But that threatens endodontics as a specialty. What you don't have on your tapes previously, probably, is that IB has forced Walter Cohen to go into an experimental program of perioendo as a certificate activity for the days when it all might merge. You may have on your tapes that they've been thinking of merging them into an all-medicine perioendo board. I don't think that's going to happen, but such talk occurs. You know, can this be a specialty? Is it really a specialty service? Has it been a specialty, Raj, only because there's been such a clinical demand and people getting out of school were so badly trained? Now the training programs on the graduate level have improved and training programs at the pre-doctoral level have improved. This very school, we had a lousy pre-doctoral endodontic program when we started. Now it's getting to be good. Someday it's going to be great. With more people training into this and the pressures to train general dentists into it, are we going to find that there isn't a great demand for endodontic service and somebody's going to say, hey, was it ever a specialty to begin with? Or can general dentists well-trained do it? Then you know I believe it's a specialty. But did people succeed in the specialty who shouldn't have just succeeded on the basis of quality or academics or ability to deliver the service, but only because nobody else knew anything about it at all? Now, these are major threats to endodontics as a specialty. So what I see happening to endodontics is that its credentials are going to be questioned very severely. It's a very broad statement, but people are going to want to know, what is an endodontist? Why an endodontist? There are pockets of people trying to retreat, IB making that statement. I hope he wouldn't make it now, but he made it within the last half a dozen years. You know, is this a specialty? People questioning its validity. The idea that these old-timers weren't specialists and had their other piece in it. So I think it's going to be questioned for its validity. The Hinman Clinic that I spoke at this year, magnificent meeting, was criticized on the 6 o'clock news in Atlanta. I was getting dressed and I said, what the hell is she criticizing? She says the dentists sit down at the Hyatt House spending money, having dances, surrounding it with some semblance of lectures. You know, in one view, you say it was one of the most effective scientific meetings that I've attended in many years, and I've spoken to three of those end of meetings. But the TV reporter says, what were they down there? Keeping the fees up by their entertaining themselves? God knows what each one spent. Challenging? Yeah. I think endodontics is going to be challenged for its validity. It's going to be a serious problem. I think future endodontists are going to have to be problem solvers. In my own office, I'd say that 75% of the teeth I get are salvage jobs that somebody else has been into. Raj, what happens to me happens to everybody in turn. Okay? My practice in Boston became your practice in the western part of the state. You know, all come. It's going to work down the line. It's going to work down the line. That may be an accurate figure. Sometimes it seems like every one of them, somebody's been in it. It's a problem that's impossible to solve. The legitimate endodontists who are going to survive this aren't going to be the ones who are just slapping it in easy. They're going to be the ones who can solve problems. It's going to be like the oral surgeon used to be when I was in dental school. The oral surgeon was the guy who saved you from trouble. Anybody in Brooklyn could take out a tooth. The oral surgeon's the guy you sent it to when it was broken, when it was impacted, or when you had a cellulitis. And I think endodontics in time is going to be this, because we're going to have the pressure of the alternate techniques that are not disappearing. They are not going to go away. There will always be a variety of alternate techniques. They're going to be here. They're not going to go away. You're going to have the kids getting out of school who are going to be able to do better endodontics than they could in the past. And you've got the overabundance of endodontists already. The endodontists who are going to be the endodontists 20 years from now and viewed as endodontists are going to be the people who can solve the problem. You're not going to get those five anterior teeth or six anterior teeth, you know, the nice part of the day. They're not going to be the people are going to be able to do it themselves. And they're going to be able to do it by virtue of changes in education, political forces. All of these things are going to come together to create it. You go to the boonies, if you go up to Portland and Maine, they're going to be like behind us. You know, five endodontists are doing great up there. They had none 10 years ago. But then they'll run through their thing, and pretty soon the dentists up there are going to be able to do some of the stuff. Now, something important that nobody may have mentioned, dentistry was a growth profession in the 60s. The recession of 72, 73, 74 hit dentistry collectively as hard or harder than most other industries. Dentistry is no longer a growth industry. Too many dentists. If there get to be too many dentists, they can't get their book filled. And this is going to lead to government dentistry. Robin Lawrence, and I'll talk about this when we have your meeting up there, Robin Lawrence, the HEW man, he's putting a dentist into some town south of Northampton. He's putting one into Quincy. And we say, where are you getting these dentists to work in the National Health Corps? He said, we got 15 dentists for every spot we have to offer. Because they can't make a living. When they can't make a living, they got empty books. When they got empty books, they do the endodontic case, Raj, that they weren't doing in the 60s. The case they weren't doing in the 60s, they're going to learn how to do in the 80s. So I think there's going to be a tremendous change, a tremendous impact on endodontics. And this is in place. This is in place. Big, big changes.
I think you've got a very realistic view. I think it's listening to you, I find it very impressive that you have that view.
Well, I've been thinking about this a little bit.
Just a couple of real quick things. Can you envision like alternate techniques, you know, being a major area of conflict now? Do you think that like the Sargenti thing that hit us in the early 70s, that hasn't gone away, and now that there are some other ones that are surfacing, do you think that'll be a major thing, or?
Sure, mm-hmm. It's going to be a major thing. BioCalyx has come in from France into Canada. They're advertising it. You check your mail now. You're going to see advertisements. You've had them, but you probably threw them away. BioCalyx, it's slaked lime by Dr. Bernard from Paris. They don't even know who Sargenti is there. They got their pastes. There's 20 pastes. These things are going to be here. I've written that N2 is going to be the calcium hydroxide of the second half of the 20th century. And there was the calcium hydroxide. Now N2 is going to be the calcium hydroxide of the second half of the 20th century. And there'll be something else after that, and with it. Going to be major alternate techniques, and here's another challenge to endodontics. if the average person could do endodontics as well as we would like to believe, then they wouldn't use the alternate techniques. The success of the alternate technique, the endodontist can't get this through their skulls, means the alternate technique is doing something for the dentist who is employing it. But they can't get through their skulls, the guy using N2 is doing better with N2 than he did with the endodontics they taught him in school. Think of that concept for a little bit. The guy using N2 and liking it is on a reality basis. He is really doing better with the N2 than he did with what they taught him at dental school. As I say in that paper, the greatest value that N2, that Sargenti did for us, the greatest service, is to tell us what we didn't want to admit about ourselves. Turn that one over in your mind. He told us what we didn't want to admit about ourselves. He says 30,000 dentists, if 10,000 well-educated, he says 30,000 well-educated American dentists use my technique. If 10,000 or 30,000 well-educated American dentists use his technique, what an indictment it is of us that they should have to use his technique. So Raj, I think the alternate techniques are going to be there all the time. Indirect pulp capping, this drug, that drug. They're going to be there. They're going to impact very severely.
Can you envision like endodontics getting involved with some other field of medicine or dentistry, gelling together, that type of a thing, coming in the future?
Like what? Be
perio,
more specific.
You know, specifically like perio.
I'll tell you specifically on that. The answer was no.
Yeah.
See, Benda says yes, and I say no. Because if you can get my vision of endodontics in the future, the tough case is not going to be solved with N2.
Mm-hmm.
The palatal retrograde, the whatever, it's not going to be solved with N2. The calcified canals, the thing. It's not going to be solved with the kind of skills you employ when you do perio. What these people who talk about this, when they talk about it like that, I say to myself, my God, these guys haven't been doing endo. When they think of merging it with something else, they're not doing it. It takes you all the practice and concentration on endo that you can bring to it to do the kinds of nice things you do in endo. If you had to divide your time into thinking about the margins of a crown, somebody's diastolic pressure, or somebody's infrabony pocket, then you would be diminished as a deliverer of some rather complicated mechanical services besides biologic thoughts as an endodontist. So I think it's an unrealistic thing to think that there won't be a demand for highly skilled endodontists. You following me? So I don't think it's going to merge. I think we're going to be picked away at on the periphery, but I think society and the people need extremely well-trained endodontists as such, whatever they end up being. And it's going to be a rolling event. Albuquerque, New Mexico is going to have the endodontist still getting the anterior teeth, and the state of Massachusetts, from one end of the state to the other, are going to be doing the problems until it happens into Albuquerque. I don't think we're going to merge, and I think we ought to resist merging. I think we should represent ourselves for what we are and know what we're doing, and then those who can, fine, and those who don't, maybe they weren't really endodontists. Maybe they shouldn't have been endodontists. I think a lot of people have been endodontists who shouldn't have been. That they weren't providing a service which was really necessary or specialized enough.
Have your views on the International Congress on Endodontics that's held every 5 years? Can you envision that as playing a very important role in the future?
Important role?
Yeah.
How do you mean important role?
As far as endodontists keeping up to date, and with, can you envision that conference evolving into a more significant type thing than it has up till now?
You mean it's an educational body? It's not a political body.
No.
It's an educational body. Not while Lou is running it. And I say that even though, you know, he's like my father. This conference coming up is an example of it. This is not an endodontic meeting. This thing could have been set under pain control conference or anything of the sort. He consulted with me on selection of a couple of people I did to help him. But, you know, what can you do? I'm going out of respect for Lou. No, the people he's bringing, Schroeder is not an endodontist. A lot of the Scandinavians he brings in are not endodontists. It's a nice place to get together. But it's not a major educational event. It's not a political event. It's Lou's baby. And I think he's run through the ideas, because you see, they don't discuss the real issues. A good issue would be a conference on what happens when you put a Reimer file into the sinus. Happens a lot. What do you do with certain clinical problems that we don't address ourselves to? It's a put-together program to pay off some little things for foreign friends and bring them in, and it's nice at its own level. But Roger, have you attended many of those?
I'm telling you, I've been to one 5 years ago.
Okay, there's not a lot in there for you. You know,
this next one I looked at and I couldn't find how they...
Right. For somebody who's a trained endodontist working with it, how can you let these people who spend 6 months writing a paper of six pages while you're treating 600 teeth, you know, do that? I think it's one of those social things that society requires, and it's necessary and important to be. You all get together and see each other and spend a few days together, but I guess I'm expressing some surprise at your question, and that surprise is an answer. Mm-hmm. That I don't really see the World Conference. Would you, if you're talking about something else like that, the rest of the world hasn't got much to offer. I think in its present foundation, a properly constituted AAE should still be that body, eventually to become international when the other countries have their spot. There's one limited practitioner of endodontist in France. There's one limited practitioner of endodontics in Italy. There are no limited practitioners in Germany. There's no limited practitioner in Switzerland. There are two limited practitioners in Spain. I'm not referring to the quality, I'm only referring to the numbers. Ospie was never, you know, he was a politician kind of person, an administrator. He wasn't so much of an endodontist. There's no limited practitioner in the British Isles. None. They got a British Endodontic Society and not one single limited practitioner. So I don't think we're ready for an international body. There is a European Academy of Endodontics, of which I am the honorary chairman. If we had a lot of time, which we don't, I can tell you. I'm the Sargenti of Europe. And he and I have an agreement. I work one side of the street, the Atlantic, he works the other. We made a little toast over some white wine in Lake Como some years ago. I'm going to get to Europe to do warm gutter percha. They're teaching it exclusively at the University of Verona. I had a letter just yesterday. We'll go back and show you. I want to show you the letter. That the.